Oh, Amiel is here. Sado. Good. I've almost fully recovered. You can say 98%, left with 2%. In fact, yesterday I already felt I have returned to normal. The only 2% is the a little bit sheen still there. A little bit. But the whole of the muscle thing recovered already. So looks like it's going to heal and make my body very much better. Meant to be, meant to be. If I not had this one, then I will not meet with the three person who heal me. Three of them take turn and they come at the right sequence. The first one, wow, really. He really have the strength. So he actually helped me to recover 80%. Then the last 20% very difficult, because this body already no longer like before. No more 26, now 62. So the recovery take long time. Then even like when you exercise, normally last time you long time don't exercise, suddenly you go and exercise, you will feel the ache immediately the next day. But with this body at this age, 3 days later only appear. So sometimes you overstrain your body without you knowing it. Your mind can still go, but the body actually is under stress. Then as I go through that phase, we met another one that know how to align the spine. So she did that final tuning. Then finally, luckily, Sui An Mi Fong took me to see the SJBA 75 years old Sifu Lee, I think. He very good. He diagnosed me and treated me for the last, I think, last 10%, which was very difficult to treat. He gave me acupuncture, then gave me the cream. Then after that, he Sado. Oh, okay. Oh, I report. Most welcome. There, put on the altar. Just offer to the Buddha and the Kuan Yin. Then she gave me some Chinese herb, which was very good. Helped to disperse the thing and slowly heal me. After that treatment, I think he specially gave me a one-to-one consultant on Tuesday. Normally he don't come on. He come on Saturday, but that Tuesday very strange. He said, ask me to come, he will be there. So that Tuesday he diagnosed me and treat me. Then he told me, no problem with it, I should heal. Then really, his medication also good, then his cream also very good, his acupuncture also very good. So these three, savior, save this body. So with this, I got a feeling, once this body got no more this problem, it will become very different again. Then you all can benefit more. Because last time, constrained by the body. Actually, this nature is capable of a lot of things, but the body constrain it. So even at the Cameron retreat, because meant to be, I forgot for the first time to bring cushion. Well, normally, if I take myself, I sure remember one. Oh, this year around, they were so enthusiastic to help me carry my thing. Until all my thing went to the bus, also, I don't know. Then when I told my wife, I haven't taken my thing. Oh, all up already. So she said, all out? I assume all out. Then when I reached there, I look for my cushion. How come no cushion? Well, every time when go down, the first thing I saw is my cushion. So this trip come down, then I asked my wife, where is my cushion? They didn't bring. That's what I meant to be. Then it start The retreat was 9 days, as you all know. Every day, 8 to 10 hours sitting. Then you don't have your own cushion. So you will have to go through what they call nature's law. So endurance. Even I can endure, I also don't want to endure. That's why I told you all towards the last few days, I said, no, no, get me a chair, table. I prefer to sit, otherwise this body will become very badly affected. So luckily because of that, then I went to Japan. I walk a lot, but no problem there, luckily, no problem. And you know the flight, 8 hour to 9 hour sitting on the economic class. So not easy, but for me it's no problem because I can meditate, and I can rest. Then on the way back also same, almost 9 hour or 8, 9 hour sitting on that backrest. But luckily it didn't happen, nothing happened. Then come back, the next day got lunch appointment, someone can attend. Then that's why I said Thursday class on. Then 6 o'clock when I took my bath, I think the cold water caused the muscle spasm. Then everything just went like hell break loose. I couldn't stand that day. My whole left leg was like give way. So I had to rely on my right leg to stand. Then I can't move my left leg that day. Then luckily, I say I may have to postpone the class. Then we really postpone it. Then I call up Vincent. You remember Vincent at the retreat? Our strong man came. So he gave me 1 hour plus of that type of treatment. You know how painful that treatment is. But I can endure. But at one time, it was actually very, very painful. Then I told him, can stop for a while. He said, "Never mind, my brother, you're very fast, I'm finishing already. Continue another 1 minute." And that one, not heat like that. It Hokkien Jui one. Wow. And that is the part that is the most painful one. Wow. And you know his size and his strength. And for me, I was so lambert. That I like being pow. But well, it was very good, very, very good. After that, I knew already. Next day, I will recover a lot. 80% I recover. I can stand, I can walk. The only thing is, I need to rest. That's why after that, he came again on the third day. Second day, he let me rest. Third day, he called me out. He said, "Brother, how are you?" I said, "Got a bit more." He said, "Never mind, I come over." He didn't say come over for what. No, he said come over. So at first I thought he teach me how to exercise the muscle there, the usual one, the hand movement and that one, up and down the thumb, up and down. So after that I say, "Shall we start?" And it's another round. Okay, I say we go upstairs. Wow, another 1 hour flat. Oh, that one was a good one. The second round was a good. I think the second one clear most of the thing. So hopefully with this, I should recover. Otherwise, I got a feeling when I reach the age of 70 or what, this one will give me big problem. So now it's clear already. I hope it can last me another 20 years. Well, last time, at the age of 35, when I was still young, I got this slip disc because I fell before when I was young, due to coming. So I fell. Then 35 years old, I kena. That time, my body can heal. So I meditate, I heal. But it took me 1 month plus. And I used up a lot of the pure energy. 1 month plus. 1989, remember. Then after that, I actually became okay until now. Means 27 years. That one lasts me 27 years. But that one, I was young. Now I don't know how long it will last. Hopefully 18 years enough. 18 years, I 80 years. Should be more than enough. Okay, we better start our puja. Oh, sorry, 8:15. Okay, get ready today. Who light the candle? I think we... Ah, your daughter. Yeah, you go and like then that girl, huh? That new girl, huh? She Jessie, huh, is it? I forgot your name. You haven't lighted the candle, huh? Help us to light, huh? So that we can start the puja. One light the candle, one light the incense. Okay, the rest can stand, huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we can start the puja offering now. You can go back to your place. Stand there. Now I can stand anywhere. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu means rejoicing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We rejoice with the wholesomeness, their generosity, their faith. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Sadhu, sadhu. Mimi. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can start off with the puja. Now you compose your mind, develop the faith, the sadha, the virya. Then mindfully we shall recite the salutation to the Buddha. Then tonight I think it's your those who are observant, you observe there is another Kuan Yin image there, Kuan Yin Rupang, which is very beautiful. This one, it seems according to Mi Feng, the mother left behind for her, it's a very old one. I think easily 40, 50 years old. So we will recite the salutation to Kuan Yin Bodhisattva too. So I will recite the Mandarin version first. 南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无观世音菩萨，南无观世音菩萨，南无观世音菩萨。Okay, now I will start the Pali chanting. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo.Dhammang namassami Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang namami Okay, you all can be seated. Then we turn to page one of the chanting book.We can comment some of puja chanting. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa.Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Buddhang saranang gacchami Dhammang saranang gacchami Sanghang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchamiDutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang GacchamiPānātipātā vīramani sikkhāpadāṁ samādhiyāmi Ādīnādhānā vīramani sikkhāpadāṁ samādhiyāmi Kāmesu mecācārā vīramani sikkhāpadāṁ samādhiyāmiMusāvādā vīramani sikkhāpadāṁ samādhiyāmi Surāmerāyā majjhāpamādathānā vīramani sikkhāpadāṁ samādhiyāmi Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Gannā sārāpaditthenaDittena tamadang sina Tiloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonudang Ganda sambara yutena Dopenahang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana muttamangVanna ganda guno petang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siripada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena Punnena matena cha hotu mokhangPang milayati yata idang me Kayo tatayati vinasabhavang Adivasetu no bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigang hatu mutamang adivase tu no bante pale parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigang hatu mutamang adivase tu no bante bojanang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigang hatu mutamang. Now we will make aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of these fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be fully strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we will do the closing salutation. Bhadang pujeme. Dhammang pujeme. Sanghang pujeme. The closing salutation is to the Triple Gem. The Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. The Triple Gem are very important. They are called the gems because just like precious stone, the most precious among the precious stone are the gemstone. So that's why this is the Triple Gem. And according to the Buddha, you can never find his teaching apart from the Triple Gem. That's why there is no refuge safe, according to him, except in the Triple Gem. If you cannot meet up with the Triple Gem, it's very difficult to realize this truth or to encounter this truth. Okay, so you develop the understanding of all this salutation. Then our puja is to strengthen our spiritual faculty to help us make all this good aspiration, so that you can develop the condition to become stable in your mind. And this spiritual faculty will allow you to understand spiritual teaching and help you overcome the five mental hindrance, to counter the opposite five mental hindrance that hinders your mind from becoming peaceful and aware within, from becoming heedless. That's why I look at the whiteboard after I will explain how you can develop the understanding of the cultivation. Without this spiritual faculty, you cannot move. You become heedless, just like here. Yeah? Heedless thinking, think a lot. Yeah? Then the five mental hindrances are full. There is no spiritual faculty. If you live like this way, you become heedless. You will suffer a lot. And you will have a lot of negativity of karma. And your condition will be according to how your karma take you. That's why it's not easy to live life when you don't have the spiritual faculty. Without the spiritual faculty, you will become heedless. Later on, I will try to explain this one more time for those who missed the class last time. Okay, now we can start the meditation. For those who really know how to meditate, you can straight away start. And I understand there is one person who is new. So I will give you some instruction. Then, is Angby's friend, is it? She knows some Dhamma base? Ah, good, that easy. Then I give you some book later on. You can take home and read. Then you will understand the teaching. So now you don't try to remember anything. You just listen attentively. Then try to follow whatever instruction that is understandable by you. Then you just silence your mind to develop the meditation. These instructions are for normal people who have not trained their mind. Means the spiritual faculties are not there. The five spiritual faculties are Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. When you don't have this, the mental hindrance will be dominant. That's why you cannot meditate. Your mind cannot become peaceful. That's the reason why the Buddha said, living being with mental hindrance. The five mental hindrance, if you already have the basic Dhamma understanding, are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, or sleepiness of mind, or lethargic mind. Then you have this restless mind because of your fear, worry, anxiety, lack of peace. Then the last hindrance is doubt, when you are not sure. You don't have confidence, you will have a lot of doubt, and doubt lead to fear, worry, anxiety, lack of stability of mind. So this mental hindrance hinders you from becoming peaceful, attentive, and aware within. That's why you cannot meditate. So what we do here is we teach you a skillful means to help you decondition the heedless thinking, to help you maintain some form of attentiveness. We start off with the mind sweeping method. Mind sweeping method is very simple. You just sweep your mind from your forehead down slowly. I will give you the instruction. So initially, for those who really know how to meditate, you proceed. For those who are new and still need instruction, you listen. You make sure you have a stable posture, relaxed body and mind. Check your backbone, make sure it's straight. Then relax every part of your body and mind. Relax means don't think of anything, don't worry about anything. You are here to train your mind, to make it peaceful, quiet, silent and aware within. So that this mind can become peaceful, meditative, and you can recuperate from your tired day. Then you can rest your body. Then you can rest your mind. Then close your eye. Then maintain some form of attention at your forehead. You just feel your forehead. Don't think, feel. You can detect any tension, stress within. Then you just relax, relax, and relax every part of it. Feel it soothingly, relax. Whatever tension and stress within, you just relax them all. Feel your forehead muscles soothingly, relax. Then you move this attention down to your eye muscle, do the same. Just relax every strand of your eye muscle or ciliary muscle. wherever there is any tightness, stress within, or any tension, you just relax them all. Relax, relax, and relax them all. Feel them soothingly relax. Then you move your attention down to your facial muscle. Each and every strand, do the same. Feel, relax, feel, relax. Your entire facial muscle, feel it soothingly relax. Then in order to help you with the process of relaxation, you can visualize yourself radiating a radiant smile facing a mirror. When you can smile, you have joy, you have happiness. So when you can reflect or visualize yourself radiating this radiant smile in front of a mirror, you will have this joy and happiness within you. Then when you do that, your facial muscle will naturally relax on its own, because when you have joy, you are not tense, you are happy. When you are happy, you have a radiant smile that will allow your muscle, facial muscle, to relax naturally. That's why having a lot of joy and happiness is very important in life. When you have problem, when you have sadness, when you are unhappy, when there are things that bother your mind state, human beings are seldom happy. They seldom have joy. They hardly smile. So because of that, they are constantly stressed up. That's why they have a lot of problem, and they become tired very fast. And when they are stressed up, it will translate into fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. And all this will haunt you and make you miserable. That's why meditation is a skillful way to reverse all this. You just relax every moment of your mind state. Then allow these mind states to settle down on its own. Then when you radiate this radiant smile, you feel good, you feel peaceful, you feel relaxed. You can only radiate this radiant smile when you are really happy. So to assist you to have this happy mind state, we will teach you loving kindness meditation. This loving kindness meditation can combine the mind sweeping method to develop the inner well-being or inner joy and inner happiness. Mind sweeping method can make you peaceful. So the obvious advantage of meditation is the inner peace leading to the inner well-being and inner joy and inner relaxed state of peacefulness of mind. So you just recite, follow what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You have to feel it when you recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, feel the body and mind of yours, your entire being, each and every cells within your body and mind. Make sure that they are happy and peaceful. That's why you recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within each and every cells within your entire body and mind. Your bodily cell and your mind state having this well-being and happiness, that joy. So this will bring about a lot of positive energy, positive mind feel that will make you peaceful, happy, and your cell will become very healthy. This will boost your immune system, and this will help reverse all your negative energy states of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, your unhappiness. All they will go. That is the one that make you miserable, depressed, lower your immune system, stress you up, and cause you a lot of suffering. And through your negative mind state, your immune system will go down. That's why loving kindness is a very good source of energy to reverse all this negative energy and bring about the positive loving kindness energy, the good vibration within you. You can repeat one or twice. May I, this body and mind of mine, Be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind. Then you continue to read it. May it too be free from all suffering, both mental and physical suffering. You must feel it, that your body and mind is without any mental or physical suffering, that you have this inner peace and inner well-being, very strong. Then may it too be free from all harm and danger. Then may its mind state still, be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it always keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your heart. You must feel it. The inner peace, the inner joy within your heart. Then the love. Then you can continue to radiate this metta to all your loved ones. May all my loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy. You can visualize them. It can be your parents, your brothers, your sister, or your good friend, or somebody whom you cherish and love. Can be your children too, or your grandchildren. You radiate this same metta to them, visualize them, then from your heart you radiate. May all my loved ones too be well, happy and peaceful. May they all too be free from all suffering, both mental and physical suffering. Then may their mind state still be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can extend this metta to all beings. May all beings within this vicinity of Subhangjaya, together with all Dhamma friends, Kayanamita, who are meditating here, may they all too be well, happy and peaceful always. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they too be free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then after that, you can radiate this same metta to all beings within this vicinity of Subhangjaya, spreading out to Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, then the whole of our solar system, then the whole of our galaxy, then our Milky Way, extending to the whole universe. May all beings throughout the entire existence, the whole universe, may they all too be well, happy and peaceful always. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they always be well and happy, peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can come back to your facial muscle and just feel, then relax every part of the facial muscle. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you continue to sweep your mind down to your neck, feel, relax. Don't think, just feel, relax. Shoulder, do the same. Then hand, feel, relax every part. And back to shoulder, relax every part. Then move your attention down to your heart area or your chest area. Feel, silence your mind and feel. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat. You just silence everything and stay there still. Don't move. But if you are new, you are not sensitive, it's okay. You don't have to do then you can just feel your heart area, like you feel your forehead, relax into it completely. If you can detect any tension, any stress within, or any uncomfortableness, you just relax, relax, and relax into it until you can feel your entire heart area fully relaxed. Then you move your attention down to your stomach, feel relaxed. Then you move it down to your abdomen, again silent everything, then just feel relaxed. Just maintain awareness. Then you move it down to your leg, your buttock, feel relaxed. Then you can reverse this whole mind sweeping method from the leg, buttock, up, feel relaxed, don't think. Then abdomen, feel relaxed, stomach, feel relaxed. Then move to your heart, silent everything and just feel. Then you can detect any vibration or your heartbeat, you just silent everything and stay there. Otherwise you continue to relax every part of it. Feel them suddenly relax. Then you move your attention up to your shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, neck. Then facial muscle, feel, relax. Eye muscle, do the same, then your forehead. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful because you only feel and relax. There is no more thinking. So this will make you peaceful, calm, quiet. You have to maintain this state. But your mind need to hold on to something, otherwise it will wander off. So I will teach you a skillful means to anchor this peacefulness of mind. The Buddha called it anapanasati. Anapanasati comes from the Pali word. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is the training of the mind to be mindful of this in and out breath. Then like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. The moment you can detect your breathing, like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Just follow. Mind and the breathing move as one in perfect harmony. When you can do this, you will become very peaceful, very calm, very quiet. But if you are new, it's not easy. Within split second, your mindfulness is gone. You cannot stay at the breathing because you think a lot. The thought will come and distract you. But don't worry. Every time this mind wander or get distracted, you just maintain patience, relax, silent, and bring it back to the breathing. Expect the mind to wander off many, many times. But as long as you are patient, this mindfulness of the in and out breath will stabilize on its own. After a while, 10 minutes or what, it will stabilize. Then your mind will become very peaceful and very quiet. Then you just relax everything and allow the anapanasati to go on. Then it will accumulate into what they call piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, spiritual rupture, or spiritual peacefulness of mind. You will feel very peaceful, very calm. The spiritual joy born of meditative calmness, they will arise. And you will like to meditate. Then you just relax into every mind state and allow this anapanasati to go on. Not long, this anapanasati will become more and more refined until the piti will become sati, will become sukha. Sukha is the blissfulness of mind. It's not only peaceful, but it's blissful. The mind becomes very blissful. Then you continue to relax into it. After a while, the breathing becomes very quiet, very still. From long breath, it becomes very silent and still, like no thought. And this is the silent mind. This is the tranquility or stillness of mind we call pasati. So you train your mind just to develop this quality. Then from there, you can become peaceful, quiet, silent within. And this is the mind that can meditate. This is the meditative mind. Okay, with this, I will let you continue with your meditation. Then after that, I will ring the bell after about 10 to 15 minutes. Yeah. I will off the rest of the light. Okay, for those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have now, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed through this training. Yeah? You need to use these mind states to help you develop the actual meditation while going through life. In the midst of life, as you go about doing your things in life, you have to maintain this mind that is trained in heedfulness, in awareness. You need to have this wakefulness or mindfulness or heedfulness in the midst of life. When you are not able to have this mind state, when you think a lot, you become heedless. And the reason why most living beings are heedless is because they have not developed this five spiritual faculty. They have not trained their mind, and they are not able to have the mind that is peaceful, calm, and aware, that can allow them to meditate in the midst of life and to have clarity of mind, to live life, to understand life clearly. Then you use these mind states to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path leading to the enlightenment or the awakening. You develop what they call heedfulness. To be heedful is to be ever mindful in the midst of life, to develop this meditation. That's why the Buddha called it under Dhamma Pada verse 23. He said, the heedful, they are constantly meditative and ever mindful. So you can develop this mind state in the midst of life. You are considered heedful. And the heedful never die, according to the Buddha. And you are destined for enlightenment. So the constantly meditative, ever mindful, they will realize the supreme born-free Nibbana is guaranteed under the Dhammapada verse 23. That's why we are here to train our mind to have this quality of mind called heedfulness, so that we can be peaceful in the midst of life. We can have this clarity of mind to understand life and to develop the meditation leading to the awakening, the wisdom. Okay, now turn to page 6. Yeah? We will chant the invocation to the devas. I will read the English translation. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakvalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sattamam Munira Jasa Sunantu Saggamokkhadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Iti piso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho vicacarana sampanno sukato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusana Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Yatidam chattari purisa yugani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sakkasangho Huniyo pahuniyo dakiniyo anjali karaniyo anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati. Then the next page, Viva Chanda, salutation to the four main objects of veneration. Vandami chetiyang sabbam Sabbatane supatititang Saririkya datu mahabohing Buddha rupang sakalang sada Vandami cetiang sabam Sabbatane supatititang Saririkya datu mahabohing Buddha rupang sakalang sada Vandami cetiang sabam Sabbatane supatititang Saririki datu mahabohing Buddha rupang sakalang sada. The meaning is very important, huh? According to the Buddha, these are the four main objects of veneration that can bring forth the beautiful mind, that can recall all these four veneration, four objects of veneration to mind, and they bring about a lot of peacefulness. This one, you will see them in the meditation center or temples or way place that are picking up and established. The translation I will read to you. Salutation to the four main objects of veneration. Vandami chetiyam sabbam means Vandami is I salute every shrine or chetiya that stands in any places. That's why sabbatane su patitinang. Then saririka datu. Saririka means the relics, bodily relics of the Buddha and the great beings. Then Mahabohing, the great Bohi tree, under which the Buddha gained enlightenment. Then Buddha Rupang Sakalang Sada means including all the Buddha images, all over the places. These are the four objects of veneration that we should venerate. We calm our mind, we compose our mind, and develop the faith within. Then we develop the understanding of these four objects of veneration. The Chaitya is very important because they consist of the Buddha's enshrinement of relics, and the Chaitya is built in such a way that the teachings are all there, starting with the base, the four foundations, then the seven factors of enlightenment, then the four noble truths, dependent origination. So everything, they are enshrined there. So Chaitya are of great significance, and the bodily relics of enlightened beings, especially the Buddhas, they have very pure vibration, pure energy, and they are very conducive for the mind to develop samadhi, to develop the spiritual faculty, to develop the faith, the saddha, virya, sati, and samadhi leading to wisdom. Then the great Bodhi tree allow us to recall to mind how our teacher Sakyamuni Buddha gained enlightenment underneath the Bodhi tree. That's why he has a lot of gratitude towards the Bodhi tree. Then the images of the Buddha allow us to recall to mind all of his great virtue and qualities, his perfection of wisdom and virtue. That is the real Buddha. It has nothing to do with the image. The image is not the Buddha. Always remember that. It is to allow us to recall to mind his great quality. And these qualities of perfection of wisdom and virtue, nobody can take away. That's why the refuge you take is not just the image where people can blow it up or destroy or desecrate. That is not the Buddha. So don't worry when people who are deluded and foolish do all those things. Do not get yourself woke up or become unhappy over all those things. That is not your refuge, your Buddha, your refuge. Nobody can take away. Just the Buddha, Sammasambuddha, is the embodiment of his perfection of wisdom and virtue. That one nobody can take away. So when you understand all this, you will know how to develop the cultivation. Okay, now we will go to the second part. So I will open up for you to report your meditation. Then you can ask me whatever question. Oh, yeah, can, Mifong. To chant the Heart Sutta. Good, come. We need to consecrate the Kuan Yin image. You turn to the last page. Oh, Pamasuri not around. They are in Cameron having a retreat. Don't worry. Song is meditating. Song, 起来. Mama, 起来. Let him come out. He is coming out slowly. Sorry to disturb your peace. So, Mifong request to sing the Heart Sutta, the Great Compassionate Mantra, one time each. Tapito. Don't have a tok tok, never mind. Oh yeah, Mifong has a tok tok. Who know how to do the tok? I saw Leslie can. Leslie done before, can. Leslie. No problem, just as long as the talk can come through. The faith must be there. Meant to be, So I will help you with a thing. Never mind, Yeah, very good. Take your time, Leslie, don't worry. Practice first. Yeah, song, you use the mic, yeah? Mm. Yeah, page 19 of the chanting book, Tapeto, the great compassionate mantra. Mm. Okay, I will think.
Namo Tathagata Buddha. Namo Tathagata Buddha. Namo 则即来阿悉陀夜萨婆诃。波陀摩揭悉陀夜萨婆诃。那来谨墀班揭来耶萨婆诃。摩婆利僧揭来耶萨婆诃。南无何来耽乃多赖耶耶。南无阿利耶婆卢揭帝释迦来耶萨婆诃。安悉殿都曼陀来跋陀耶萨婆诃。揭谛揭谛婆若揭谛婆若僧
揭谛菩提萨婆诃。
揭谛揭谛婆若揭谛婆若僧
揭谛菩提萨婆诃。
揭谛揭谛婆若揭谛婆若僧
揭谛菩提萨婆诃。
观自在菩萨行深般若波罗蜜多时照见五蕴皆空度一切苦厄舍利子舍不异空空不异色色即是空空即是色受想行识亦复如是舍利子是诸法空相不生不灭不垢不净不增不减是故空中无色无受想行识无眼耳鼻舌身意无色声香味触法无眼界乃至无意识界无名亦无明尽乃至无老死亦无老死尽无苦集灭道无智亦无得亦无所得故菩提萨埵波若波罗蜜多故心无挂碍无挂碍故无有恐怖远离颠倒梦想究竟涅槃三世诸佛依般若波罗蜜多故得阿耨多罗三藐三菩提故知般若波罗蜜多是大神咒是大明咒是无上咒是无等等咒能除一切苦真实不虚故说般若波罗蜜多咒即说咒曰揭谛揭谛婆若揭谛婆若僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃。 揭谛揭谛婆罗揭谛婆罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃揭谛揭谛婆罗揭谛婆罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃。
Rejoice, eh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Anybody know how to sing Namaha Karuna Dharani Sutta? A Joyce is not here. Ingbi, you can chant? Ah, good. Leslie and Ingbi chant, eh? Pass the mic to Ingbi, eh? Okay, yeah.
Karuna Dharani Sutta. Namo Ratna Chaya, Namo Arya Chana, Sagara Viro Chana, Vyuhara Chaya, Tathagataya, Arahate Sangyasam Buddhaya Namo Sarvatathagate Be Arahate Be Sangyasam Buddhe Be Namo Arya Avalokite Shoraya Bodhisattvaya Mahasattvaya Mahakarunikaya Teyata Om Dara Dara Diri Diri Duru Duru Iti ve iti chale chale Pura chale prasale Kusume kusumawa Re ili mili chiti chola papna yeshorha Sadhu Sadhu, sadhu.
Very good, huh? Very, very good. Sadhu, I rejoice. Huh? So this one can be sung in another version, huh? Which is very good. Huh? I really rejoice. So the last one is Om Mimi Pimi Hom. Huh? We chant three times. Who knows how to chant that one? Yeah, you start, Ingvi.
How much? Three times?
Three times, yeah.
Om Mani Padme Hum 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 Om Mani Padme Hum
Okay, thank you so much. Very good. Sadhu. So tonight we did a good consecration. Now we pay respect to Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the What do you want, sir? We just recite, homage to the Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, then we bow. Homage to the Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Homage to the Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. And together, we would like to thank Kuan Yin Bodhisattva's nature for her great compassion, great loving kindness, to bless us, protect us, and guide us all this while. And we will continue to request for Kuan Yin Bodhisattva's nature to continue to bless, protect, and guide our nature, life after life, whenever we need to come or have to come. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. This is something that you need to develop through understanding. Later on, as you mature in your cultivation, you will come to understand the great loving kindness, compassion, and great wisdom of Kuan Yin Bodhisattva's nature is very different. This Kuan Yin is very, very compassionate, and her nature is very different, very, very full of loving kindness, compassion, and wisdom. And most living beings has great affinity with her nature because of her great compassion. She can be connected anywhere, any place, any time. The only criteria you need is you must have faith in her. Yeah. Then you must have this sincere mind. That's why whoever chant her, whatever for how, or the great compassionate mantra, or even the Tapejo or Mahakaruniya, Karaniya Metta, or even Om, maybe Om, you will connect. As long as you do it sincerely with faith. So that vow has become a nature's law. That's why a lot of old people, especially your mother, my mom also one of them, they have great faith in Kuan Yin. In time of fear, difficulty, they will call upon Kuan Yin. And you will be very surprised how that nature can actually manifest, because there will be a response if you are sincere, and when your faith is there, it will connect through. In fact, this line, this form of mind been, like I used to tell you, very fragile and very vulnerable. If not because of Kuan Yin's nature, it would have died 3 times. But because of Kuan Yin's nature, it survived. To cultivate, you need this form of mind. But this form of mind is very, very fragile, very vulnerable, very easily destroyed. So you don't have all these blessings, protection, and guidance. That's why we share merit, transfer merits with Dhamma Protector. They are the one that guide you, protect you, and help prolong the sasana. We are, as a cultivator, we are part of the sasana, doing the sasana work. So these are very important understanding. Okay, now we come back to our second part, reporting of meditation. If you have any meditation experiences that you want to report and seek clarification and ask me any question regarding the meditation or the teaching, you can. And also how to apply what you have learned here so that it can help you to understand clearly the teaching, so that you know how to apply it to live your life, so that you can be a blessing to all. Okay, now we open up to the floor. Anybody wants to report their meditation? Yeah.
My ex-colleague just came in, the one in blue.
Oh, okay. They came before, isn't it? Oh, first time. Oh, sorry. Okay. Never mind, it's okay. Afterwards, give them the seminar book. Then together with the blue book and the brown book. I think these three or four books will be enough. Then you got the ancient path, also can give them one. Give one set to the lady also. What's your name? I forgot. Irene, sorry. I don't have good memory of people's name unless I see you often. The brown one, taken? Okay. Good. Three copies each, should be enough. The blue one actually got two set, no? There's one more. Yeah. There's another earlier, 12 September. Oh, then there's another one. The one that I delivered the talk already. Ah, yes. This one is the Thursday talk. This one is good. The meditation, you can refer to this one. Never mind, you got one copy, give to Irene first. Your friend can give them later. Give to Irene first. Okay, anybody wants to report your meditation so that I can guide you along? You don't worry about your reporting. Just report sincerely. Anybody? Or anybody got any question that you want to ask to clarify your understanding? Everything also no answer, so what you want me to do? Then I better explain to you what I promised you just now. Okay, you look at the whiteboard here. Just now I was trying to explain this word, heedfulness, apamada. So according to the Buddha, this is the most important mind state that you have to develop. That's why all meditation, whatever meditation they teach you, if they don't lead you back to this quality of mind, heedfulness, that is not the meditation taught by the Buddha. You must come back to this, because according to the Buddha, this mind state, which is heedfulness, in Pali is called apamada. Apamada here means heedfulness. And according to the Buddha, if you are heedless, if you are not heedful, you are as if dead, spiritually dead. There is no chance at all for you to become enlightened. There is no chance at all for you to understand spiritual teaching. You will become heedless because of your delusion. And when you are heedless, the Buddha said, you are as if dead, even though you are alive. You can be conscious of life. You existed through life, but you never live. True living is with the inner awareness. When you are heedful of life, when you are truly living life. Otherwise, you think a lot. You are lost in thought. You become heedless or mindless. Means the thought drives you. The thought conditions you and make you miserable and unhappy. And you arise a lot of wrong thought. Wrong thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation. Wrong thought that create your own suffering, misery. So whatever thought that brings about all this negativity of mind state, they are all wrong thought. They are not conducive for the spiritual life. they cannot bring about peacefulness of mind, calmness of mind, clarity of mind to understand clearly the nature's law that governs life and existence. So meditation focus on this word heedfulness. To be heedful, the Buddha said you must start with training your mind to be mindful. That's why heedfulness is defined as constantly meditative and ever mindful. So to be ever mindful, you must train your mind to be mindful, then stabilize it so that it becomes ever mindful. Means throughout the day, you are aware from within of what is happening around you, of what is happening within your own mind state, your own feeling, your own emotion, your own thought process, everything that arises within this physical body and mind, how your mind interacts with your sense organ, and how they trigger off sense door consciousness, and how the content of consciousness went in, and how you function as a human being, how the mind move and function following the law of dependent origination. There is no creator, there is no God behind all this. All of the things that happen is nature's process or nature's law, dependent originating, like the scientists explain it as cause and effect. There are causes and conditions behind all happening. So the physical law, Newton's law, also understand that to every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So if you introduce a cause, there will be a reaction. But that one is physical law. So that's why you have the nature's physical law that follow the Newton's third law. Then when you study physics, you also study coefficient of restitution. If you hit a ball against a very hard surface or wall, the coefficient of restitution is very hard. That's why it will bounce back equally. But if you throw it under a soft spot, then the impulse loss will actually cause the thing to like stop there. Then there is no equal and opposite repulsive because it gets absorbed. The energy gets absorbed into it. So this nature's law or nature's process is what meditation is all about. You're supposed to see the impersonal processes that goes on within your own form and mind. There is no such thing as a human being, a permanent, unchanging entity within that live life, that is responsible for many things. If you have that belief, the Buddha said, you have wrong view. You don't understand life. You don't understand who you are, what you are. You don't understand what this human being is all about. Well, this one consists of two parts. First part is the physical body, which are made up of the four elements. Four elements, you know, in Mandarin or in Chinese traditional teaching. Wind element you call wind, feng, that earth element. What is earth element? Tu. Then what is heat element? Four. Then the water element is sui, or they call ti sui, four feng. So these are the four elements. That's why you listen to the last time the swordsmanship show, Sei Tai Gai Hong, the Cantonese used to recite it. Si Da Jie Kong. What is the meaning? The four elements are empty. Oh, you sure won't agree on how can the four elements empty? My body is so solid. The wind element, all these elements, they are so solid. How can they be empty? But you look at how living beings die. What happened to the four elements? After the form and mind disperse, then you say die. What happened to the physical body? The four elements, what happened? The first thing that go is what? The wind element. Understand or not? Why the wind element? Doctor say no more heartbeat. You die already. Then when the wind element is gone, the next one to go is what? The heat element. That's how you become cool. Then after that, what happened? The water element starts to ooze out. Understand or not? Yeah. Then later on, slowly, slowly, it will decay. Then even the bones finally become powder. Then blown into the atmosphere. That's why it returns to nature. The four elements are empty. They come and they go. They are conditioned arising, cause of phenomena. And all this that arise, the whiteboard, they are conditioned arising. That's why they are not permanent, unchanging entity. And they are not real. They are not what you think. When condition is there, they arise. When condition cease to be, it cease to be. That's why the Buddha say everything is dependent originating. Even your physical body is like that. Then what about consciousness? Consciousness is just energy. They also come and go. They also disperse. From birth, the first thought of ignorant, rebirth consciousness, together with the senses, it evolved. Then you born as a baby. Then you learn. Then your consciousness become more and more conditioned, more and more complicated. Then later on when you grow up, you go to school, educated. Then you come out in the society. You again accumulate many, many things. Then you develop this bundle of memory and conditioning. And that is the one that mold you. And you become what you are because of this bundle of memories and conditioning. Then you identify yourself by the name they give to you. You identify yourself by the physical appearance that you hold on to. That's why you transform from a baby, a fetus into a baby, baby into a child into a man or a lady, then into a elderly person. Then later on they call you Apo, Ama, Akong. Then later on no more name to call. They say you rest in peace, no more problem. Then they chant for you. You are lucky. Otherwise they cry for you. But when you alive, they never pity you. But when you die, they have feel a piety, they cry for you. So you prefer them to cry for you while you are alive or when you die. The best is don't depend on them. Depend on yourself. Develop wisdom and understanding. So more important is, you need to develop this quality of mind to be ever mindful so that you understand clearly who you are, what you are, and the related nature's law that governs life and existence. That's why you have right view with regards to this nature's law that governs life and existence. That's how the teaching come about. The Buddha said there are three powerful spiritual laws that you must understand. The law of karma. It's all in the seminar paper that I give out just now. The Bangkok seminar, international seminar that I delivered at all. The first one is law of karma. You reap what you sow, the Buddha said. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. Then you are all born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. If karma plays such a great role in your life, you got this right view, what must you do? You have to take care of karma, understand not? Because you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned, supported by it. And you are what you are every moment, every instant because of it. If you don't take care, you become heedless. What happens? You will commit a lot of wrong thing. Through your heedlessness, you will have negative karma that will lead to your downfall. That's why you will be born into miserable rhymes of existence and you will suffer. And all this you have to pay back because of your delusion and heedlessness. But if you have trained your mind, like the Buddha said, then you develop all this understanding, you don't violate the nature's law that governs life and existence. means you do not commit evil. You follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, purify your mind by training your mind to be heedful, to be mindful, and to understand what constitutes evil. Then only you can avoid them. You don't even know what constitutes evil. The three evils are greed, hatred, and delusion. Then how are you going to avoid them? If you don't have mindfulness or heedfulness, you cannot be aware of your mental intention. You cannot be aware of your evil root. That's why you cannot cultivate. You cannot start. That's why sati is mindfulness, the first enlightenment factor. You must have that mindfulness. Then train it until very stable, become ever mindful. Then only you can cultivate. You can see yourself clearly. You can understand things clearly. You have clarity of mind. The one who is mindful don't have thought, hardly any thought, little or no thought, because you are aware, heedful. When you are aware, you don't think. You have clarity. But when you are not aware, lost in thought, you think a lot, you got no clarity at all. You are very, very muddled. That's why instead of having the five spiritual faculty, you have the hindrance. And this is the one, the five mental hindrance. Yeah? I explained just now, sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt. And these are the ones that make you not peaceful. That's why they are called hindrance. They hinder your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why they are called mental hindrances. So, heedless people have all this. Because every moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel, or think, you react. That's why the first two hindrance is your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. The Buddha calls it sensual desire, ill will. Whatever you like become your craving, sensual desire. Whatever you don't like become your ill will. That's why your pleasant and unpleasant reaction to sense experience. And this is what people do. That's why very capable, comment a lot. Everything also like got something to do with you. Every time point the finger out, but four finger point back at you, you never see. That's why you say that person, why he like that? But you yourself never check. You are worse than him, maybe. But you never check, you never aware, you never mindful. You talk a lot, you comment a lot, you judge a lot. You create a lot of negativity or action, speech and thought process without you knowing it because of your own selfishness, your own egoic mind, your own habitual tendency, your own conditioning. Yeah, that is how you have lived your life. Every day you respond like that, how can you be peaceful? Throughout the day also you arise this duality, positive and negative mind state. That's why people who have a lot of these first two hindrances, they are heedless, completely heedless. Can you just learn to see things as they are and accept them for what they are? The world is the world. People are just the way they are. Then you are at peace. When you don't have duality, discrimination, when you don't judge and react through your own views and opinion and conditioning, you become peaceful. But when you continuously react, what happens? You become habitual, understand not? Habitual, then what happens? Yeah? I mean, throughout the day, you got these two hindrances. That's why you have no peace. That's why you become heedless. You think a lot. Yeah? Because chattering inside. Like commentator, you know what is commentator? Huh? Badminton game or football game? Huh? Oh, which player? Oh, score, goalkeeper, or badminton smash? Huh? Like a commentator, chattering inside, non-stop. Sometimes when you are mindful, you can listen to your own commentary, non-stop, chattering inside. Alone also, you can talk to yourself. Like crazy, really, like a hospital, mental hospital person, I tell you. If you really check, you talk to yourself so much, and you chatter and verbalize. a lot of things, you very capable, and that you comment a lot. You cannot just attentively listen without thought. You read the brown book. The brown book is very good. The brown book. What is the title? I better read this to you so that you understand. Essential Dhamma of the Buddha. This part, I read to you, then you understand. This talk was delivered by me impromptu at one of the house dana of one of the Kayamita in Klang, I think Nancy and Radesia's house. So I started off by saying this. I said, just relax yourself, get yourself seated and maintain some form of sadha, virya and attentiveness. What is attentiveness? Attentiveness is the silent awareness before the knowing, which is sati or mindfulness. When you are attentive without thought, you are already mindful. Don't try to be mindful. The moment you are attentive without thought, you are already mindful. That's why I say the moment you are attentive without thought, you are already in sati. So when you are attentively listening without thought, that is true listening. That is what we call the art of listening. When you listen without verbalization, without chattering, without any reaction from your knowledge and memory, that is the silent mind listening. Now you understand. You just listen with an open mind. Then whatever you listen, you can absorb very clearly. Then if it is something not in accordance, you will also understand. But you will not prejudge the speaker. So Dhamma is about listening or learning how to listen with your silent mind. So Dhamma is about learning how to silence your mind more and more and be more attentive. The moment you are attentive, you are already aware. So today, before we start the Dhamma sharing, we would like to thank once again the host, Brother Sia, Sister Nancy and family, for hosting this wonderful house dana for us all to have the condition to come and partake in all this wholesomeness. And together we can also have a rather meaningful gathering of Kayanamitas, come fellowship. That's why we can rejoice. So these are very beautiful occasion. That's why we try to have it once a month, so that you can reap the benefit of this house dana. Not only is a gathering of Kayamita for fellowship, you get to perform a lot of wholesomeness, generosity to dana. Then you develop a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, then your faith, then you interact with Kayamita. You learn from each other. You develop the wholesomeness. Then you can also motivate each other. Then you can also bring about a lot of sharing through your own experience in life and your own cultivation, how you overcome your life suffering, problem and difficulties, and how Dhamma has helped you transform. Then through this sharing, people gain confidence and people also will start to look at it positively. Then when you transform, you become beautiful, character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise. You become the embodiment of the Dhamma. You have the Noble Eightfold Path. You become beautiful. You are no longer heedless like before. So all these are very, very beautiful. Then you develop virtue. You develop goodness, wholesomeness, kindness, blessedness, all of the positive mind state. That's why the next title I talk on is Precepts and Virtue. I would like to thank all Kayamita who can make it to here today to partake and rejoice in all this wholesomeness. At the same time, we can learn to develop more and more of this good mind state, which are very wholesome and virtuous. Virtue is very important. Virtues are all your goodness, your kindness, your gentleness, your whatever good mind state. They constitute wholesomeness. A person who can keep his precepts as virtue because he has no negativity. If you are a virtuous person, you have no negative thought. That is why you cannot violate the precept. You cannot kill, you cannot harm, you cannot deceive, cheat, or commit sexual misconduct. And you cannot give rise to inappropriate speeches that can hurt and harm people. You will not consume intoxicants or take drugs that will make your mind state or consciousness very low. And because of that, the Buddha said, keeping your precepts and cultivating virtue is a source of true happiness, true spiritual wealth, and true spiritual peacefulness. The monk will chant this in Pali for you to understand after having administered the five precepts. They will chant, Ima ni panchasika padani, sile na sukadin yanti, sile na bhoga sampadan, sile na nibuntin yanti, tasma silang viso de. The meaning is, these are the five precepts. Precept of virtue is the source of true happiness. Precept of virtue is the source of true spiritual wealth. Precept of virtue is the source of true peacefulness of mind. Therefore, let precept of virtue be purified. That's why keeping precept is very useful, very important, very conducive for your progress along the path of Dhamma. You must not treat precept as a burden, as something burdensome, like obstructing your freedom. When I was in Kampa, this Mangala Lodge, they got a group of students. Because to stay there, you have to keep your precepts. You have to do certain duties to help out in the way place. Because that is the way place where people donate. Then to enable students to come and gather and train their mind and develop positive attitude towards life. Then it's also a place for them to study, then develop the understanding of the Buddhist teaching, then to propagate the Buddha Dhamma. And there is a lot of wholesomeness that comes with it. But the student couldn't understand, he said, why I stay here? You ask me to do all this, is it? Keep precept, observe rules, cannot do this, cannot do that, whereas their friend who pay rent can do anything they like. Of course, if there is landlord there, they have to abide by the landlord's rules. But most of these are not strict. Then they ask me to talk, to give a talk there, so that the student understand. So I say, no problem. So that day I went after the retreat. Then I delivered a very good talk. It's in the recording, you can go and listen. Yeah, I told the student, I said, freedom is something that you have to understand. If that freedom that you are seeking bring about downfall to your life, that is not the freedom that I seek. But if that freedom can lead to better things, then that is the freedom I want, like freedom of practice of religion to develop wisdom. It is good. But freedom is not to keep the precept and do what you like. Oh, therefore, you have to be careful because you become heedless and you become very wild because unguarded. Then you cannot develop this three types of spiritual wealth. Without precept, you will not be happy, I tell you. Why? When you violate your precept, you have a lot of problem. Not only police come after you, you will have a lot of enemy. People will not like you because you have such negativity of mind, such violent mind. You are so undeveloped in your way you carry yourself. Your speech are so crude, so harsh. And you act so negatively, so selfishly, so full of what they call selfishness and authority. You are not kind, not polite, You don't have virtue. You don't have contentment. You are not sincere. You are not truthful. You have a lot of evil mind state. That's why this type of person, nobody will like you, I tell you. You are looking for a life partner, then sorry, nobody will look at you. I remember during the early day, you know what lady look for? Not? Huh? You think they look for love? No, that one is materialistic. I realize the lady look for one thing very important thing. The man must be able to give them security, protect them. Of course, you must be sincere and responsible. That is more important than all the other things. He can give you the 5C, but he can dump you the next day. And he can be violent to you. What for, this type of spouse? But you can have somebody who can protect you, care for you, understand you, and provide for you. Then, very sincere towards the relationship. What else do you need? You can make your own money. You don't have to worry about that. But if you marry the wrong spouse, you know what they say or not? You are finished. PG, that's why she don't get married. They say, what? The Cantonese what? No. Ka kai chai kai. He said, the most dangerous thing is kan cho lo. You can make any mistake in life, but to marry to the wrong guy, I tell you, that is the worst mistake you can ever make. That's why you can simply eat, but don't simply marry. You eat the wrong thing, at the worst is diarrhea or stomach problem. But you marry the wrong guy, whole life you suffer, I tell you. You can become very miserable. But it can be very beautiful when you have good relationship, when you have sincere, what they call commitment towards that marriage. But very rare, very rare. Yeah, they use the mind. She asked, is it because of karma also? Yeah, 100% I tell you. Because you are what you are, the Buddha said, because of your karma. You are born of it, had to eat conditioned, supported by it, and you are what you are because it. So 99.999% is karma. The 0.0001% is enlightened being. Don't have that negativity. That's why you don't play a fool with karma. Karma, you have to actually treat it with great respect. The moment I understand that, since time immemorial, I vow not to violate that. That's why precept is very important. Then I read on, you will understand. Hence, keeping precept can bring about a lot of happiness and a lot of joy to you. You must learn how to develop this happiness and joy. That's why we come here, we do puja. Sadhu is rejoicing in the wholesomeness of others. When you are able to witness them doing all this wholesomeness, you rejoice by saying sadhu. We can rejoice in other people's generosity, their sincerity, their faith, seeing how they help prepare and offer all this offering. We can rejoice. And rejoicing is a meritorious action, and it's a very positive, good mind state. It counter jealousy, envy, and all this thing. All this can lead to a lot of wholesomeness. There is a lot of synergy too, because for cultivator who understand, they not only rejoice, but they will radiate their pure wish, and in return, to all those who had partaken in this dana offering, will also receive all this wholesomeness and merits. Just like the monks, if you support them, they support you back in kind, in the form of their Dhamma sharing, via their understanding. They will rejoice. They will help you invoke the appropriate pure wish. Then they will also chant for your blessing and teach you the Dhamma. So in return, you receive spiritual wealth. So that is why the Buddha says, Sila or virtue is not only the source of true happiness and peacefulness, it is also a source of great spiritual wealth. That's why it's very important. Eh? So they will chant the blessing for you. Ayuwana Sukang Palang. You always hear about this when you go for spiritual trip. The monk will chant this for you. These are the four things that living beings need. Ayu is long life. Wana is good complexion. Sukang is happiness in life. Palang is strength, spiritual strength and physical strength to live life, to become successful, to do the thing that you want to do, to cultivate and whatever that you need. So spiritual wealth is wealth that cannot be taken away. Not like materials is wealth that can disappear. Spiritual wealth is accumulated within your spiritual nature. And when you connect via your meditation, it will support you all the way. Then when you keep your precept of virtue, you will have a lot of mental peace. That is why it is a source of true peacefulness, the serene, calm and tranquil mind. The mind will have little or no restlessness and problem, because when you keep your precept, you don't harm people, you don't kill people, you don't cheat, you don't deceive, and you will not do all those wrong things. Hence, you will have fewer problems, less fear, less worry, and less anxiety. True or not? Huh? Ah, then why do you still go on doing all those things? Oh, want to cheat people, you want to scold people, like you have a lot of greed. Why do you do that? Because they are very negative, brings about downfall. You don't have to confront civil society's law like police case and all those crime-related issues. And because of that, you can sleep well. You don't need to come back drunk, halfway driving car, kena summon, police stop you, or you become heedless, your consciousness affected, you may be up with accident, you may even die, I tell you. That's why taking off intoxicant can bring about a lot of karmic negativity. Then when negative karma ripens, they will condition you into a lot of suffering and misery, causing your mind to become miserable. That's why there is no peace within, and you become more and more heedless. But once you keep your precept, your mind becomes more peaceful and calmer. That's why it's a source of true peacefulness. True peacefulness can bring about a lot of good mind state for you to develop the meditation. That's why after cultivating sila or precept, samadhi will kick in. Then samadhi will give rise to wisdom, which is panya. So these are all related. Huh? Then I talk about sila, samadhi and panya. You go back and read. This is a very good book. In fact, all the books are very good. You must slowly read so that you can develop the clear understanding. Okay, now I quickly summarize for you. Huh? So you train your mind to be peaceful, mindful. To do that, you only need to cultivate the five spiritual faculty. That's why when we do our puja, we develop them. We pay respect. We develop the faith. You remember? Confident in the Buddha and his teaching. Through reflecting and understanding who the Buddha is and how special and wonderful the teaching is. That's why we chant all the salutation to the Buddha, the nine great virtue, the Dhamma and the Sangha, the Triple Gem. Then we renew our precept. We take refuge. We create affinity. We develop the faith. We chant the salutation, Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa, then Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. So all this will develop the faith. And when you have strong faith, it will drive you to cultivate. That's why virya will come, spiritual zeal. When you have faith and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, and you know how special the Buddha is, he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. He is not only enlightened, fully enlightened, perfect in enlightenment. And his teaching can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now, can free your mind from all suffering. What are you waiting for? If I were you, I would have great respect and gratitude towards him, because to have the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born, to be your teacher and your guide, you can never, never find anymore. So that faith will be very strong. Then when you truly understand his teaching, you have a lot of gratitude and respect for him. Then it will drive you to cultivate his teaching. That's why virya will come about. Then when you pay respect mindfully, you develop sati. Means body and mind move as one without thought. You learn to be silent more and more, more and more. When you are aware of your breathing, you don't think. When you are aware of your bowing, you don't think. When you are aware of your four posture, you don't think. Standing aware, walking aware. You are no longer heedlessly lost in thought. People who are not aware think a lot. They are constantly lost in thought. When you are aware, you anchor your mind to your activity, your physical movement, physical phenomena. Then later on, when you are skillful, you can anchor it to your other phenomena, mental phenomena, your feeling, then to your mind states. That's why you have four foundations of mindfulness to anchor your mind, starting with your form, kaya, then vedana, feeling, then citta, content of consciousness. Then last one is to all the Dhamma. Dhamma is his teaching, truth. This word Dhamma is truth. Truth is the reality that points towards the nature's law that governs life existence. That's why the Dhamma is understanding or wisdom. When you understand the truth, you understand the nature's law that governs life existence, then you have the Dhamma. When you have the Dhamma, you will understand the teaching of the Buddha, which is basically truth. But if you take the word to be his teaching, then you miss the understanding. Because the word is not the truth. The word points towards the truth. You have to realize this teaching and awaken to it. And then only it becomes useful. Otherwise, it's knowledge. It doesn't help. That's why you have to use it like a raft to take you across the ocean of samsara. After you cross over to the other shore, which is the unconditioned or nibbana, you don't need the raft anymore. That's why the Dhamma, you don't cling, you don't attach, you don't hold. You use it to cultivate, to realize, and to liberate your mind. That's why realization of the teaching leads to nibbana. So these are all related. Then you will realize the unconditioned. Then here is a very important one. When you have this Dhamma or understanding, then you will know how to act. Acting according to your Dhamma understanding, which is the right view based on the teaching, or wisdom, is true action. Then you know how to act. But most human beings don't act this way. You know how they act, right? They act according to their memory. Correct or not? Because your views, your opinion, your conditioning and your memory, you will just act like that. You remember, this guy is my enemy. I have to be careful. Last time he mistreated me, I'm going to do this back to him. So acting according to memory is what? According to your wrong view, your conditioning, your whatever, what they call belief, your views and your opinions of things. That's why you create a lot of wrong things. That's why there is no action. Because this is all your selfishness, your greed, your fear, your insecurity, your conditioning, your belief system. And this got nothing to do with wisdom and understanding. So you cannot act according to memory. But what else can human being do? If you are deluded and heedless, your memory is the only thing for you to fall back to act. That's why all human beings, 99.999%, act according to memory. You are not acting at all. But when you act according to wisdom, the understanding will surface. Then you will know what to do, because you understand the right view with regards to law of karma. You will not violate. Then you understand how the mind functions. You will not be deluded by it. There is no more security or self-delusion. Then when you have the clear understanding of Dhamma, you know the Four Noble Truths, you know what constitutes suffering, the cause behind suffering, then you can manage your life better. Then you will understand the Third Noble Truth that the Buddha mentioned. Suffering need not be when you have this understanding of his teaching, Buddha Dhamma. When you are not deluded by what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think, your mind liberate and free. That's why there is no more confusion. You see things as they are. You won't react anymore. You won't be afflicted and become miserable anymore. That's how you act according to understanding or wisdom. So this is very important. Then according to the Buddha, there is this karma. You don't take care, it will give you problem. This form of mind, the so-called human being that is born into this world, this is a segmented form of mind. You know what is form of mind? Every human being or living being, you got a physical body, they call it the physical form. You have a consciousness trapped inside the mind. So this consciousness, combined with the physical body, become the form of mind. And the Buddha subdivide the mind into four more aggregates. You can feel, you can perceive, you can arise thought process and mind states. Then you can become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So these four aggregates together with the physical body become the five aggregate of form and mind. And this is the karmically conditioned form and mind, or vehicle and tool for you to come to this world. And this one is not you. Do not be deluded by it. This is conditioned arising, dependent originating, born of karma. This one is born of karma, and this is not you. This one is dependent originating. That's why the four elements are empty. Consciousness is impermanent, lead to suffering when you deludedly grasp and cling, thinking that there is a human being inside there. So what the Buddha wants you to understand is that you got a mind. This mind which is consciousness and is content. Before it starts to become heedless and think, it is just pure awareness or consciousness up there. When you are silent without thought, you remember just now? When you don't verbalize, you don't chatter, you are at peace, aware, just aware. No thinking, no chattering, no what they call verbalization. You are completely attentive and silent. When you are in that state, you can see things as they are. This is your true mind. It's the deep mindfulness without thought. Then you develop clear understanding, which is wisdom. That's how the Buddha Dhamma, you can be awakened to it. You can understand them. Then with this understanding, you act. Then you live life. This is true living. And this is the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. Then after that, when you understand how you function as a human being, this is where your physical body with the senses, the sixth sense, this is where the five aggregate of form and mind, the second aspect, the dependent origination or dwelling, patisasama, it all happened here. That's why you think a lot, you become heedless. So this way of living is from memory. So the mind, which is consciousness, when it creates contact with the senses, it arises consciousness. When consciousness arises, just pure consciousness, like the Buddha said, in the seeing, it's just a seeing consciousness, no one to see. But through your delusion, you input the content, say, I see. Understand that? That is self-delusion. That's why selfishness comes in, emotional negativity comes in, fear comes in. So from your memory, your conditioning, everything you input into the consciousness, that's why the content of consciousness become deluded. That's how the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion and the five mental hindrance, they get deposited into the senses. That's how the dependent origination make you heedless and you think a lot and you have a lot of mental hindrance. There is no spiritual faculty. That's why this meditation is about reversing all this through the cultivation of the five spiritual faculty. When the five spiritual faculty are there, the hindrance cease to be automatically on their own. And that is what meditation is all about. So it's very simple. Okay? 10:30, we stop. Yeah. Hopefully, you all can follow. You can't follow, don't worry, record it. So go back and listen to it. Recorder. Every of this talk is recorded. I see the red light, I'm very confident. Sometimes battery run down. Once a blue moon, the battery no more. Then the red light doesn't blink. Means no condition to listen. So don't try to remember anything. If you can, don't even try to write notes. Go back and listen that time, write notes. When you are here, you just listen. Attentively. Then you understand. Okay? Irene, you got Dhamma based on?
I understand.
Oh, very good. Sadhu. Very good. Because if you don't have Dhamma based, this is too difficult for those who are.
I like to listen to
you know him? Yeah, from Thailand one.
No,
this one is the Taiping one, the Malaysian one, different. There's another Dhamma Buddha, they're from Thailand one.
I like that one.
That one is different, that one is, I think, somewhere Para. He last time was a JKI engineer, he was my senior JKI engineer, the electrical, if I'm not wrong. I do silver. Then I heard from JKI people, they say there's one become monk. Yeah, very different also. Not only clear, later on you understand. It's very different, very different. But don't worry, everyone has their own understanding. They will teach according to their own understanding. So you only have to listen attentively. When you understand, you will know how to differentiate between them. Because a lot of talk appear very similar because of the Dhamma words. But when you understand, it's completely different, I tell you. Because the understanding, when you listen with understanding, a lot of the words are wrong. Not what it's supposed to mean. Because when it is clear, the word they use is different. The words are very simple words. But the meaning that they carry through that simple word is very, very penetrative and very clear. Then later on you read all the Dhamma book. When you yourself awaken and realize, you read all the Dhamma book, you can see where it go wrong. A lot of things are not what it's supposed to be. That's why you become very different. Then when you listen, you will understand. You listen, you will understand. But you will never comment because people are just the way they are. When their understanding is at that level, they will share that way. So you cannot like comment, because likewise we look back. Before we understand, we also go through all those phases. Before we understand the importance of precept, we also kill mosquito, as a cockroach and other things. We also violate all the precept. When I was young, I also smashed mosquito. I don't understand. But the moment I understand the fundamental truth, when I reconnect back, I can never do it. Until today, I never kill a single mosquito. Not even kill, harm, cannot. Sometimes they come and bite me. I just blow like that. Then try to like slowly send metta and tell them not to come and do all these things. But then later on, funny, no more mosquito. Even when I was in places where they say quite dark, then when we were having this Dhamma sharing, a lot of people cannot buy, bitten by the mosquito. Then I say, got mosquito, man. How come I don't feel anything? Because that time the vibration is different. Because what come out, that metta, I think they can feel all these mosquitoes, they can feel that vibration. They don't come and disturb you. In the forest also same. But the moment you get unhappy, I tell you, more will bite you. They like can feel your mind state. They are attracted to negative mind state. So, because you know why, all these animals and all these insects, they are not like human beings, no? Think a lot, no? Very cunning, no? Very deceitful, no? A lot of these funny ideas inside them. They are very simple beings. That's why they are very sensitive. That's why they can feel you. That's why a lot of ladies like to keep pet. Understand? Where the pet can understand them better. When you are not happy, your pet will know one. No. They will come near you, especially the cat or the dog. Then they will stay with you. Then you feel very good. Because they will never cheat you and deceive you. Understand? Not like human being jute you and do all those things. You will learn all this. You will learn all this. Okay, we better end. Oh, sorry. Taken extra 7 to 8 minutes. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits. Transform merits. And after that, you can make your aspiration. Share your merits with the devas. Akasatta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditva jirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect their dispensation. Eta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed ones. Idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives, and may they all too be well and happy always. Then we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo asakalena sasa sampati hetu cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Now you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect by following the Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end.
Now very good. I'm solid. Last time too soft. My back affected. They have to listen to the... I send out the email. My parameter email. They have to listen to the Tuesday class.